The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
From a nightclub at the end of the world. You know who this is. It's Sunday, February the 5th, 2012, and I am now 3 days into my 62nd year. I want you all to know tonight that that my butt is very happy because I'm sitting in my birthday present. I actually wore out the desk chair I've been using, and I got a new. It's really nice. So I'm really, and this one doesn't squeak like the old one did. So we'll have a good show tonight. We got a lot to talk about. I was telling Gary before the show started that Carolyn Baker is back with us tonight. She's the author of Sacred Demise, Navigating the Coming Chaos. She writes a column for us at CollapseNet. She's at CarolynBaker.net. She's Carolyn Baker. She's an institution. And I'm about ready to be institutionalized. So I hear her there on line one, and I've got a lot of news to go through before Carolyn and I really start talking, but I think I want to acknowledge her presence so she can kind of like hold my hand as I go through this. Because what I am tonight is disoriented and angry. Maybe that's where we'll pick up when I'm through with the news. But news, okay. Gary was right, and I heard his anger in his show before we started tonight. Overt fascism is just everywhere. I have seen this week things which have nauseated me. Most specifically, I am referring to a videotape that was amazingly produced by a journalist, and I wish I should have gotten the name, at Occupy Oakland of the events last week, absolutely giving the complete lie to the official story. Among other things, the cops never issued orders to disperse. It's all filmed. Never issued orders to disperse. They kettled all of the marchers outside the YMCA. And a mile away and like an hour apart in time, 20 people in masks, anarchists, supposedly, agents provocateurs, what they were damn cops, break into City Hall and burn the American flag. Now, what Oakland PD wanted the world to think was that they responded with the mass arrests in Oakland because the people had broken in, but that was it had nothing to do with it. And guess what? People inside the YMCA opened the doors. There was no damage to the YMCA. And every kind of law you can, it was assault under color of authority for any lawyers out there. This was deprivation of civil rights, perjury on the part of police officers. If they filed police reports saying that, which is, there's another felony. And then they went and beat up all these people. And then this tape shows Oakland PD coaching the media and the media coaching LAPD, the media being falling on their knees, kiss ass. Not reporting the other side of the story and engaging in a conspiracy to conceal the truth. And that's all on tape. And I watched that this week and I just said, wow. I just said, you know, it's true what I've learned through a lot of my studies over the course of my lifetime that once fascism takes a step out of the closet, as it did with the NDAA, it has to start dancing real fast, and it gets hungrier and more aggressive, and that's coming. Of course, we had the arrest of a Gasland director. Everybody's seen Gasland, right? Josh Fox goes to a hearing room in Washington, D.C., sets up a camera, and Republican members of the committee that are doing hearings on fracking order him arrested. You know, Bob Dylan wrote a great song many years ago called Everything is Broken. But he has a great line in there called, there are people bending broken rules. You know, and it gets kind of offensive when they take a rule that's already broken and they bend it again in front of your face. It's just, it's out of hand. Now, I haven't seen all this yet, but from it's coming up on the World News Desk on CollapseNet tomorrow. Some horse-mounted police cleared the Occupy D.C. protesters today, and the Occupy Oakland protesters marched against police again today. I don't know how that turned out, but we'll have that on the World News Desk tomorrow. Occupy is very, very, very active, and that's come up frequently today. Okay, now as far as the economic stuff, here's the short version, everybody. Global economy is imploding faster than almost anybody realizes right now. Some of the biggest corporate names in the world are about to go bankrupt. We have a story listing them that'll go on the World News Desk at CollapseNet tomorrow. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I glanced through. There's some huge names in there. Japan's electronics industry is collapsing, and nothing is being built in Japan, and there's no reconstruction. There's no real repair going on around Fukushima, not even for the tsunami wreckage. And Japanese government debt keeps piling up even as Japan's electronics industry, I mean, Japan is dying, and it's getting very obvious and very severe. When there's a punchline to all this. Now, in terms of civil unrest, as we go around the world, we've been doing it on CollapseNet this week. There are riots and civil unrest everywhere. I mean, you can't even pick them out. So, well, you know, we've kind of entered a nosedive on afterburner here. In the meantime, Ron Paul placed third in the Nevada caucuses, but I caught some real chicanery there. He was ahead of Gingrich earlier on. And CNN wouldn't put a link to the chart where they showed that, and suddenly the votes changed. That you know, because the last thing that Mitt Romney wants is for Ron Paul to be the recognized challenger, second place guy, because then Mitt Romney would have to debate Ron Paul, and we know how that would come out. When it got down to brass tacks, Newt Gingrich is unelectable. Trust me, I've been around presidential politics a long time. I was Ross Perot's press spokesman in '92, and you know, I called John Kerry as the Democratic nominee in 2004 when he was dead last in the polls. And Newt Gingrich is unelectable, and he's out there riding flank for Romney, and he's failing. You know what we would all love to see is for this to become a Ron Paul Mitt Romney race, and you know there ain't much time. So Ron, Godspeed, keep it up. Okay, something else to go through. A winter weather emergency is occurring in Eastern Europe, and I can't keep track of the numbers of people now that have frozen to death. But it is I've seen references to previously unrecorded all-time record. From England all the way through Italy and through Eastern Europe, 50,000 people just in one area of Italy alone are without power. They've got 39 inches of snow on the ground. And I've never really talked about this much in my career, but I'll do it briefly now. I have followed chemtrails, and it was an issue I chose not to pursue because for a lot of reasons there was no conclusive proof. But I'm just going to say this right now because I've been at this for, you know, 35 years, and I'm an old guy now. So I can just say this, and it's my real considered opinion that there's a massive diesel shortage around the world. I say that because Japan and Fukushima are all running diesel to replace the electricity taken away by, you know, the loss of 12, 13 reactors that are shut down. I think it's more than that now. But we've had stories on the World News Desk that India is having major blackouts all the time, and the Taj Mahal has 60,000 diesel generators that it uses whenever there's a blackout, 60,000. And then we had, as a guest on the show, Bob Neuwirth last week, his great books, Stealth of Nations, you know, talking about Nairobi, Kenya, that there's no infrastructure. The whole city runs on diesel generators, and I think it's weather modification. We've been getting sprayed heavily here. I caught a real bad cold, and we're having a very warm winter here in the United States, which is reducing the demand for home heating oil, better known as diesel number two. Weather modifications like squeezing a balloon, and so enjoy it in New England and wherever you are not burning heating oil, and just realize that people who think they know better than you are making people freeze to death someplace else so that that can happen. One last thing before I bring Carolyn in, because I'm ready here. Unprecedented global monetary policy as world trade volume craters. This was by Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden, on February 2. And I was saying in August, when the economic, you know, major economic meltdown happened exactly when I said it would, that it was unfathomable to me through August and September why things weren't falling, and then it became very clear. I observed many times on the World News Desk at CollapseNet and in articles there that the world economy was being tied together in a harness so that it could all be sunk at once, which is what's happening now. And trust me, man, it's bad out there. But this is just a quote. With the IMF cutting global growth forecasts and signs of slowing evident in the dramatic contraction in the world trade volume in the last few months, it is perhaps no surprise that the central banks of the world have embarked upon what Goldman Sachs calls an unprecedented alignment of monetary policy across countries. And the whole story confirms everything I said, that everything is being tied together and more or less brought down all at the same time, which is obviously going to be right about now. It's what's happening. It's underway. And but just with the fascism this week especially, I am just so angry, and I am disoriented. So now let's turn to our great friend Carolyn Baker, who's on the phone. And I, Carolyn, I walk in the office, I tell you all this stuff, I spew and I spout and I say, I'm disoriented. What do you say to me?
Well, I say that a lot of other people in this country are disoriented as well. You know, we began this new year with some very interesting stories about mental health. In January, there was a big story in Salon magazine, The Depressing Toll of the Great Recession. And Russia Today had a story a few days later, 20% of Americans are mentally disturbed. Digital Journal, a few days after that, published a story about methamphetamines and the tremendous carnage that is producing all over North America. So, you know, we're all in a kind of state of disorientation, and that's why we need grounding in connection with each other, supporting each other in where we are and where we want to go right now, and also some emotional literacy to understand and work with the feelings that are coming up
now. That was good. Emotional literacy. I love that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. You know, yesterday I did a workshop in Denver with a friend, and, you know, we had like 2-3 feet of snow here in Colorado over the weekend. And Wednesday night, when they were giving the reports of how this was going to hammer the Eastern Plains, people were running to the grocery stores because they knew they were going to be socked in for a week or so, and there's no food there. And I'm just going, wow, what a dress rehearsal this is. And yesterday in our workshop, you know, we had a bunch of people who were just eager, hungry, wanting to learn more about emotional resilience. And a lot of the women expressed fear, men as well, of how violent the culture is becoming and will become as things continue to deteriorate. So these are things that have to be addressed. And I'm telling you that buckets of food and gallons of water and learning a lot of skills are not alone going to prepare us for what's going on. Yeah.
No. And you know, and maybe me setting an example by just, you know, coming out and saying, this is how it's, maybe that'll help everybody else access a little bit better, too.
Right.
You know, this
talking
is scary.
Talking to our friends about this and, you know, getting down and sitting with people and talking about, what are you scared of? What makes you sad right now? What's pissing you off? And really supporting each other in talking about those feelings. And then, you know, moving to, so what are we doing in our community? What are we doing in our neighborhood? How are you guys preparing? How can I help you? How can you help me? Those are the kinds of things that keep us going.
And that in connection with the soil, you know, that's that has become such a part of my life right now. I go out and connect with that as often as I can. As I'm looking at all this news and I'm aware that things are breaking apart really fast. I mean, people just need to get that we are looking at some absolutely astronomical upheavals within days or weeks here.
Yes.
And that's become pretty clear to a lot of people now. And you know, I'm the guy who has, you know, had, I've certainly had as much time to prepare and access to the right information as anybody else out here. And yet I just really have to acknowledge that I feel off balance with this.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I really want to recommend again, and I'll even say it straight up, it's my book, Navigating the Coming Chaos, is now without my permission on Google Books. So you can go there and read it, or you can buy a copy, or you can get it on Kindle. In one of those ways, I'm asking you to please read Navigating the Coming Chaos and do the exercises in it, and better yet, you know, start a group where you got a bunch of people doing this together. I get emails all the time from people in the UK, in Australia, mm-hmm. lots of places. We're studying your book, and mm-hmm. it's awesome, and, oh, can you come and talk to us kind of thing. And it's just really, really important to
have. We are having an amazing reach now. I mean,
yes.
Now that we have, the collapse of that site is just doing wonderful now that we got full control back of it, and we're making a lot of improvements. The site's looking great. But here's just some of the people I caught this week visiting CollapseNet: from Chiang Mai, India; Hong Kong; Izmir, Turkey; San Carlos de Barandilla something, Argentina; Riyadh, Saudi Arabia; Korea; Novosibirsk, Russia. I mean, Brazil, Estonia, Poland, Malta, Curacao. And this change of consciousness is happening. I also can't deny that, because I'm seeing it in a lot of brilliant, noble action by a lot of people. How do we make it go faster?
Well, you know, it really has a life of its own. I don't know that we can make it go faster, except to do our own work. And, you know, I have started a series in my CollapseNet column called Collapse Psychosis. And the first one was just that I published last week. It was just basically the facts of the mental distress that people are going through. And then what I want to do now is I want to get into the specific emotions that people are going to feel in this upheaval. I'm starting a series on my own website on emotional resilience, and I've got a sampler on there right now at carolynbaker.net. It's just a little 15-minute talk on emotional resilience in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go into a series that will be a paid series where I'm going to talk about the specific emotions and how to work with them, and I'm going to do some of that on the CollapseNet site as well, because people need to have these skills. They need to have this literacy. They need to be able to have a guideline for how you work with this distress that is coming up. And, you know, boy, I really hear you when you say you're feeling disoriented. How not?
I just got an email from Windermere Assassin, who's one of our – he's just an amazing guy. He's called into the show. Also goes by Lee Deathcare Nelson on Facebook. He's made a great film we put up. He just sent me this urgent email. He says, since you came on air, we have been getting reports of heavy shelling from tanks and gunfire as regime forces pound Kaldiyeh, Baba Amr, and Qusur, all witnessing a full-force attack by the regimes of Syrian forces around Homs in Syria. All reports say that the bombardment is relentless and nonstop.
Yeah.
If you pray for those people in Syria tonight. Let me address that for a minute, Carol, because that's kind of important, and I've been following it closely.
Yeah.
What has happened is that the United States, NATO, and Israel have suffered a complete defeat in their plans to attack Iran. World War III started. It started when three Iranian military bases were blown up, when a nuclear scientist was blown up in his car, and when 10 Syrian pilots were assassinated inside a Syrian airbase by Israeli commandos. That's war. And it was forced to back down. And key to the strategy to attack Iran was that in the order of battle, the West order of battle, was that you had to have regime change in Syria before you could attack Iran, because Syria is ruled by a Shia minority, a Baathist party of the Assad family. But also there is Hezbollah there, and Israel can be seriously hurt, pardon the alliteration, by Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is that Russia sent ships and declared a military alliance. Russia is arming Syria. Both China and Russia said nobody overthrows Syria. So the U.S. is defeated in the Arab League mission, which was a Western propaganda thing just pulled out. And President Bashar al-Assad now has a free hand. And what he is doing is he is exterminating. He is wiping out the remnants of the resistance that were trying to overthrow him. Now, that being said, and I know Carolyn's a guest, but I got to make this clear. That being said, there were troubles in Syria. There were troubles with Assad. You know, you got a minority. But what the West did was pour gasoline. That's what CIA and covert ops do. They take indigenous problems and they fan them into a world cause to achieve their ends.
Right.
The West is lost, and now balance is being restored. So I pray for peace everywhere and everybody who's under fire. Sorry, Carolyn, I just felt that was kind of necessary. So,
no, I'm really glad you clarified that. I think that really, really needs to be said. Yep.
Yeah. But that's going on all over the place right now. I think don't anybody believe there's... I noticed there's like 8 or 10 stories that are, you know, still hyping this Iranian attack, either by Israel or by the U.S. or Iran, and that's off the table now. I want everybody to get that. That's off the table. Trust me, I'm not wrong on this stuff. We have other things to worry about. The U.S. guy is getting its butt kicked around the world, and as I wrote on the World News Desk this week, I'll give it back to Carolyn after this, the U.S. has been so humiliated. I mean, we are running out of Afghanistan. ISAF has announced that they're pulling out early, and you know, because that's the lost legion, that's Dien Bien Phu if you leave those 54,000 guys there. And the U.S. and the embargo was, and nobody has paid attention to the oil embargo. And what the U.S. has done, deservedly, was to get its ass kicked by a world that it has lied to, bullied, beaten up, and it's coming home to beat the children, meaning us. So dysfunctional.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Here's a little irony. Let's do a song. Let's do a song. This is a perfect time for a song. This is so ironic. Last week, some stories surfaced in the press. I think some TV news special did a thing on a place called Slab City near Salton Sea in Southern California. And then Time Magazine picked up on it. What Slab City is just a big piece of concrete out by the Salton Sea in the middle of the desert where all kinds of people who have checked out have taken their motor homes and they're just living out in the middle of nowhere. And my bandmate and I, Doug Lewis, we met somebody about 2 years ago when we were writing the new White Trash album. And she was homeless. She had an old motor home, 76 Winnebago. And, you know, really been kicked around, but she had this great pit bull that was the healthiest, happiest dog I've ever seen in my life, and that dog was always well cared for. She went out to Slab City, and Doug Lewis and I at New White Trash, I think Doug wrote the whole song, but Doug and I collaborate. I mean, I brought the story to him. Wrote a song called Slab City, so here it is.
You know why you came here, and not sure why you stayed. Could have been the weather, have a new life in L.A. It never rains in Hollywood. It never rains in Hollywood. It never rains in Hollywood. And now you're leaving for your family wants to know you're doing really. I mean, you can't tell them how dry the well is. Your family wants to know you're doing A-OK. Only you can't tell them how dry the well is. It never rains in Hollywood. It never rains in Hollywood. You're leaving. going on as time goes, like a movie going by. Full of accidents and incidents, a real blockbuster ride. It never rains in Hollywood. You're leaving for your family wants to know you're doing really well. Only you can tell them how dry the well is. It never rains in Hollywood.
City, it's kind of a that's the way we were feeling, the attitude of the people who were going out there at the time. Anyway, that's from New White Trash. You can find us at newwhitetrash.com. Saying hey to my buddy Doug Lewis. If he's out there listening, he probably is. We've got to come into a station break here. Our guest tonight is Carolyn Baker, author, lecturer, just one of the most wonderful teachers out here, helping us all prepare and go through what's going on, with a lot of skill sets to share. We are going to take a short break because I skipped last week, and I'm so grateful to Progressive Radio Network because these guys allow me to do that every now and again. But I don't want to do it all the time because there are people who make this thing run. And you can find us back. We'll be right back at the Lifeboat Hour here at PRN FM right after this message. We're on tonight with Carolyn Baker, author, spiritual teacher, therapist, healing, wonderful woman friend person of mine who everybody knows here. She also writes for us at CollapseNet. If you have questions for Carolyn, you can send me emails directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com, lifeboathour@collapsenet.com, or you can call in. I guess I don't know if there's a technical problem with the phones. Okay, so we only have a Skype line free, so you can connect with PRN on Skype. Send me emails. I've already got a couple anyway. Welcome back, Carolyn.
Hey, good to be back.
Okay, we have a question here. Spirituality from Justin DiArmond. Okay, he writes, hello again, Mike. I hope you think you had a happy birthday. I recently watched two movies that I cannot recommend enough. One called Esoteric Agenda, and the other is a sequel to it called Kymatica, with a K and a C, K-Y-M-A-T-I-C-A. They both have to do with the revolution of consciousness we are all going through. They mention Anima Mundi and the 100th Monkey. I think you will like them very much, Mike, and as I said, I cannot recommend them. My question to you is, do you think that the 100th monkey has been reached? I also saw recently a map of all the cities that Occupy are in, and it just about made me cry. I truly believe that we are all starting to wake up. What are your thoughts, Mike? Have we reached the 100th monkey? And if not, are we fast approaching it or not? Thank you so much for all you do. Carolyn, how close are we getting to this little bugger? I want him. Let's find this thing, this guy. Where?
Boy, I have no idea. I would love to believe that. I really would. I don't know. I have to pass it back to you. What do you think?
I think the 100th monkey is aware that something's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when we do reach the end, and we might be exceedingly close to that point, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, you know, 7 billion people on the planet are all just going to stop all at once. Maybe take a million off of those for the bad guys, but everybody else is it. And so when we see that, we'll know we've reached the 100th monkey. But
well, you know, the Mayan calendar, I have never believed was like anything literal. Like, okay, the world is going to end on December 21st, right. 2012. I've never believed that. But I do believe, because really what they were about was not so much spelling out specifics of apocalypse, but what they were about is a change in consciousness. And so I do believe that this year is going to mark some kind of shift in consciousness. I don't know what that's going to be, but I think we need to watch and pay attention very carefully.
We have an email from Frank Damiano. He writes, talk about feeling disoriented. Most of my business contemporaries think this year is going to yield record sales. Every news network reports a sharp drop in unemployment. America thinks it's the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, despite the mixed results of fracking and earthquakes, which can be felt in our nation's capital. The country is focused on an election taking place at the end of the year, and there are still almost 10 months to go. These days, before unimaginable things seem to be to happen almost every week. Yes, that's the point.
Mm-hmm,
in my heart,
mm-hmm.
I know that it is all shared delusion that everyone is content to simply believe because they don't know any better. What has me most disoriented are the thoughts of what can happen in 10 months. Ooh,
mm-hmm.
That was well written. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure was. Sure was.
Yeah, and I will confess that to you too, Carolyn, is that my anticipatory anxiety, fear, future looking level, it's getting a little difficult to stay in the now with some of these things that I see.
Well, you know, that's the work that's in front of us. I write all the time about anticipating in the future, looking ahead, being observant, and living in the now. And boy, that is such a huge balancing act. And, it leads me into these four A's of resilience that I like to talk about. The first one being anticipating. If we've ever taken a permaculture course, you know that you have to be observant over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Although some situations can't be anticipated. There's always, you know, we can have a natural disaster and say, see, we knew the climate change was going to create this, but there'll always be some twist that we didn't anticipate. The second one is assessing a situation and allowing it, and sometimes it's appropriate to take action, and other times we need to step back and wait just a little bit more and have more discernment. Thirdly, taking action when we finally do see that it's important to take action. And our action should be compassionate, not judgmental, based on an intention to heal and harmonize and protect. And then fourthly, adapting when we've done all that we can to act with discernment and integrity. Then we have to adapt accordingly. And boy, all of these situations are really testing our ability to adapt, to shape shift, you know. And all of this is kind of the principle of martial arts. You're not going against it, you're adapting. You're being resilient.
Which is also the way of the Tao, which is to flow.
Absolutely.
And depend. Yeah, and that's essential. And this is what I keep coming back to, because this was a wonderful week. I had a great, an amazing, thank you to all the 600-plus people who sent me Facebook messages from all, thank you so much. An amazing birthday. Very intense presence of the reality, because this was probably the most aware group of people I know. We had about 20 people here, and all of us are like really into this. And you could feel the weight of that with us collectively. It was much easier to bear, in a party together. But it's very difficult when you can, like sometimes now I see things really, really ugly that are going to happen very, very quickly, and it's obvious, and you're just helpless to watch. It's all about letting go.
Yes, it is.
It's all about just, okay, and it's not just the oversimplified stuff, well, that wasn't me, and I'm right. No, it's like, no matter what you see, you kind of have to bear witness to it as your soul is willing.
Right. Absolutely, and there's so much you can do to prepare, but there's also so much that you cannot control.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just kind of have to, I mean, really let go and just sit back as an observer, somebody tossed around inside the dryer as it's spinning. You know?
Right.
Geez, I just got off on that track a little bit. My
well,
head,
good.
I find that when it's really intense, and of course I've had a lot of years to do this, when it's really intense, my head will do anything to try not to focus on what was really heavy at that moment.
Right.
It naturally wants to pull away. But every night when I go through the news links, and you know what we do with the news links,
right.
That takes you places. It takes you on journeys, and you got to have to be willing to go with them. What do you sense from the people that you work with, Carolyn? Are people out there making progress and getting ready? Have you seen evolutions from people who have, you know, come at some point and said, gee, I just got this collapse thing, how do we do that? Are you seeing people evolve, and if so, how?
Well, I am, and it's really exciting, I have to tell you. And, you know, before I launch into that, I just want to say that, you know, one of the things I emphasize over and over again in my columns and my work is we're talking about hell, we're talking about horror, we're talking about some really dark stuff, and it's really important for us to hold alongside that a vision of possibility. So, you know, I just want to say that I do see evolution. I see a lot of people coming to me, people who are just going, oh my God, I just learned about this 3 or 4 months ago and I don't have anybody to talk to. Can you refer me to some people in your area? Can you hook me up? It's really, really exciting. And like I said, the folks that were in my workshop yesterday and are going to be there again on March 10th, we're going to do an all-day thing on emotional resilience. People telling me, my God, you know, I've never felt this alive in my life. You know, I've been dead all these years, and I'm waking up and I feel alive.
Yeah.
And so that's really, really exciting.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because it's important to know that the work that you do to prepare for this is kind of like building muscle or working out at a gym. You just start
yep.
doing it, and over a period of time, you find yourself getting stronger and stronger legs or whatever it is you need.
Absolutely.
And you watch it go that way. I'm really frustrated still by one thing that's a blessing for me. Let me see if you see it. I find mainstream media now just impossible to even watch.
I know, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a CNN gal. Like you know, I always have it like tuned there so that just in case anything happens, and it's just nothing but the elections. And MSNBC is like this just awful political network. That's all they talk about. You know, the world could blow up, and they'd be talking about Gingrich, Romney, and you know everybody else. So yeah, it's really, really hard to deal with all of that. Yep.
Well, I find it absolutely unnecessary pretty much anymore.
Yep.
I don't watch CNN anymore because I just can't. I mean, I'll shoot my television set.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? And I need that for movies when I watch them.
Yeah.
Here's a piece of irony for you. Robin Westenra is a really good friend of ours, also a good fan, and very active on Facebook. He's communicated with this show many times. He has a blog at robinwestenra.blogspot.com. You're going to love this, Carol. You're just going to love this. Okay. GM foods not served in Monsanto cafeteria. Robin's broken a story that Monsanto employees at headquarters have seen to it that the company cafeteria is organic and vegan.
I saw that in the news this morning, and
oh,
I loved it.
God.
I loved it.
Yeah. This is okay. Maybe Robin picked it up from someplace else. I just kind of read that, but you know, it's like this is what we want to have happen inside police departments.
Right.
You know, Joe Rogan's a friend. I did his show. He just did an amazing little tape on this. But it's very clear what we want to do is to reach the point where the people in Monsanto won't eat the crap and where policemen won't shovel it.
That's right.
You know,
That's
where right. where you know where the people that make the system run just say, no, Uh-uh.
And the journalists won't report it.
Yeah, well, no, that made me so mad in Oakland, because the journalists were volunteering to be corralled away from the arrest so that they wouldn't have to report on it, what they saw.
Right.
First they came for the communists, and I said nothing because I was not a communist.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
What about all the rage that's showing up around the world? I mean, you see the news links every day because you're on my inside list when I send them out.
Right.
The world's blowing up. I mean, there are riots everywhere. I'm not kidding. I just can't name all the countries.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a powder keg, and you know, this is what people express a lot of concern about when they talk to me, and how do you don't stop the rage that's in the world. Some of it's really good, some of it's really helpful and empowering, and some of it is extremely destructive and frightening. So we have to figure out ways to protect ourselves, and again, it's that watching each other's back. You know, I remember stories of Dmitry Orlov talking about the Soviet Union and how they just holed up in apartments together and nobody went out without somebody else and never at night. And it's that whole thing of creating a system where you have each other's backs. That's not infallible, but it's really, really a hell of a lot better than trying to do it on your own.
Yeah, and you know, it's pretty clear because I'm getting a lot of requests, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to do this, but people want me to teach what I know about survival in the streets and field situations and so on.
Right.
I'm going to do it. I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. Because this stuff is going to be needed, and people in large cities are the ones in the greatest peril right now.
They absolutely are, and I just want to put in a little plug here for where I'm going to be for the first part of this year. As I said, I'm going to be doing another workshop in Denver on emotional resilience on March 10th, an all-day workshop, and then in Carson City, Nevada, and there's been all this stuff in the news this week about Nevada being so hammered, the triple whammy of economics there. I'll be there on March 24th at a big Episcopal church there doing a workshop. And then I'm doing another New England tour at the end of May, April and the beginning of May. So all of the details of these events can be found on my website. And, you know, people are just saying, come and talk to us about this. Help us organize together. And
that's the good thing about for us veteranos. I mean, we're in demand now, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is way the upside of everything that's going on. Of course, is you walk around and you meet more people with their eyes open, and yet, Carolyn, I look back and I still feel humble when I think of names like M. King Hubbard or Colin Campbell or
Jay
Hansen, all the people who saw it all coming for so long. We always honor the ancestors. That's a really important thing to do. That's the lineage.
Absolutely.
Carolyn and I wouldn't be here without them.
You betcha. And just thinking back, it was 12 years ago that I met you, and I started on this journey myself. And all the people that I've met through that, who were the elders and the teachers, and I bow to them.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm. But we have a big impact. You know, I was sitting here this week, and a reporter from the local paper, the Press Democrat, had called up, and he wanted to do a story. And, he heard I was living here. He'd seen the movie. He knew nothing else. This is the local paper in Santa Rosa. They had no idea that Transition U.S. was here, that Post Carbon was here. They had no idea that Occidental Arts and Ecology was here, the Daily, all the stuff that's going on here. And it was kind of pleasing to me after the reporter sitting in my little office here for like an hour and a half. We're having a great talk. He goes, "Oh, this is big."
Yeah,
this is big. I mean, tens of millions of people are waking up all at once. We've seen our traffic at CollapseNet, and I do have to talk about CollapseNet for a second, just soaring now that we got the website working really well. We're getting 40,000 to 50,000 visitors a day, uniques now.
Awesome.
And those numbers are growing. And so that's a real positive sign. And all we can do is just say, hurry up, grow.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me about to ask about a situation. I told them I'd keep it confidential. It's a couple, and the husband is really concerned about collapse, and he started acting out physically, violently, breaking things, smashing things around the house, throwing tantrums, and. Let's say you're in a situation like that with someone who's having a hard time coping with it and they're starting to act out. How would you recommend that people approach that?
Oh, wow. Well, you mean the people around that person?
Now, how about the one who has to live in the house with that person?
Well, there's no excuse for that, really. We need to contain ourselves, and I certainly understand the rage, and I still agree that, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention and all of that. But there's no excuse for harming other people, becoming a terrorist yourself. And you need to be probably, this is such bottled up stuff from not talking to other people who are on the same page about collapse, because if a person can do that, I don't think you have to act out.
Okay.
So I would just highly recommend that person, if you got to call somebody on the other side of the country, whatever.
Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Let's say you're the person who is acting out, and you're finding yourself, you're not coping, but you have no idea how to process, or what would you recommend they do?
You mean like the spouse who's living with the person?
No, the person who says, I got a problem here, I'm smashing things.
Right. Well, they need to get some help, and they need to get some help from somebody who understands the collapse process, because maybe it's a local therapist that can help them with the immediate issue of acting out and not being violent. But long term, a local therapist is probably going to say, I'm sorry, dear, but you've got these crazy delusions about something called collapse, and let's get you on medication.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they need to talk to somebody. Go to the CollapseNet map and find somebody in your area, or even somebody who's not in your area who understands this, and talk with them and get yourself in a support group if possible with other people who understand what's going on. This is why doing a study group around my book can be so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Or call me.
Yeah.
Come to my web, email me, carolyn@carolynbaker.net. We'll go from there.
Okay, so here's where my head is saying we're headed in the immediate future. I'm sure that this winter has not been a passive winter. All the protesters in the world haven't stopped, and it's the middle of winter.
No.
I mean, 20,000 Russians showed up, and it was 20 degrees below zero in Moscow.
Yep.
Nonviolent and 20 below weather to protest Putin, and of course that's Occupy. But the riots and the bloodshed. Egypt is a good card. It's so many nations now, but it's obviously going to heat up. I am seeing a serious escalation in violence all over the world next week and the week after, and then we come back to the United States, which we've kind of mostly walked the nonviolent line thanks to Occupy, but Occupy is coming back strong in the spring.
That's right.
And I'm afraid if it doesn't, then we're going to blow up too.
Yeah, and there's no guarantee that even if we come back violent, we're not going to be really hammered by the agent provocateurs and drawn into a lot of stuff that we don't want to be drawn into.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the powers that be are really determined to make that happen.
Yeah, I talked about chemtrails early on in the show, and you know that I've never really discussed them before, but I have strong opinions.
Right.
I've been reading about them for years. And the question has arisen about chemtrails. Is it more than just weather mod? Is it also, some kind of drug in the, what's being sprayed? Is it a poison? Is it a vaccine? Is it mood altering? Who knows?
Right.
But we can put nothing past these people.
And no, we can't. Absolutely.
We're still back at until you change the way money works, you change nothing. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, I got 5 minutes left. I've kind of run out of questions. What do you want to talk about for the last five, Carol?
Oh, boy. Well, I'd like to talk about the fact that I'm glad you've been around for
61.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you had a wonderful birthday. And I want to support people in having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and taking a break and getting together with folks and having a good time. I'm really glad you were able to do that this week.
Yeah, well, it's you know that I work almost every day on the links because that's my job to keep track of the stuff. But I figure
right.
There's 3 or 4 days a year when the world can get on without me. And you know, and I also make other time around what I consider to be a sacred duty. And that's something else that I'll add. And I know, Carolyn, you feel this way too, was that if I did not have a concept, what I'm finding the concept of the sacred is for me, in addition to everything else that it has been, is sacred is a true north that I can hold that has more power than anything else that I see going on. It's really important to have that anchor, something that you value.
I love the way you say that. A true north that you can hang on to that's more powerful than anything else. Yep.
Yeah. Because otherwise, without that tether to something that we all envision on the other side, to something we all pray for and hope for and work for and living for, which is the rise of post-petroleum human in a sustainable, resource-based, earth-based economy, we have to hold the image of that in our hearts no matter what. Because what my lessons have told me over my life, and Carolyn, you've walked through a lot of shit with me.
I have.
And what the one lesson I have learned was that's the one thing that will save you when nothing else. That just hold that something beautiful in a deep secret place in your heart, and don't let that get killed no matter what.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I got 3 minutes left. Okay. This was Carolyn Baker, my good friend, and she's written 2 books, Sacred Demise, an amazing book, hold on a minute. I'll be back. Wait a minute. Hold on. It's my Alzheimer's, Carolyn.
Okay.
Navigating the Coming Chaos. You can find her at carolynbaker.net. She's in Colorado. She writes a wonderful column for us. She's been a professor, lecturer, and psychologist, and she really knows this business of helping people who are awake with the emotional and spiritual challenges that come with what we're going through right now.
I'd like to just give you one more quote here. This is from Gary Zukav, who's a quantum physicist. Just a very simple sentence, but oh so powerful. He says, "Spiritual growth is now replacing survival as the central objective of the human experience."
Oh, Carolyn, please read that again slowly.
I will. Spiritual growth is now replacing survival as the central objective of human experience. Gary Zukav, quantum physicist, and I think that is the heart and soul, nuts and bolts of collapse.
That was a diamond. That was piercing. That was like, yeah, okay, that's it.
That's it.
You know, because everyone who I watch and who I witness preparing, committing for this, you know, committing to permaculture, living the life, disengaging. Everybody has a spiritual connection to it somehow.
Right.
And so, you know, some say they don't, but I think some are aware that there is a power here greater than them that's not evil. And that's all we need to have to get started.
That's exactly right.
All right.
You betcha.
Carolyn Baker, I love you more than my toaster.
I love you too, Mike.
We're going to have you on again later this year. I may need to talk to you sooner than that if the news is really bad tomorrow.
Hey, whenever. Give me a jingle.
All right, babe. I love you.
Love you.
And for everybody else out there, hey, we're back at the Lifeboat Hour. We're cooking and rocking. I'm going to be on it all week. You can find updates and breaking news at CollapseNet.com. We are just doing wonderful things, and the world's listening to us, and we're having influence out there. Come take a look at what we do. You need it. It's a bargain, and man, it is proven its worth out there for everybody. I want to thank all the CollapseNet staff and volunteers, all 20 people other than me, who helped make the thing work, and I especially want to thank the Progressive Radio Network for giving me this show, having me on every week, and I'll see you next Sunday. Good night.